any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig Sheeman. Pete Shepherd in his Bonita Estate, social distancing. Chris with me on the other side of the glass, and I will say this. We don't talk about social distancing or masks or coronavirus. I haven't talked about that in 72 hours. That's how quickly the world has changed with everything that's been going on in up to like 140 cities throughout the United States. Peaceful protests, in some cases not so peaceful, and looting and rioting have taken place. Look, we all agree that what we saw happen to George Floyd was beyond tragic and beyond words, and that cop is going to pay that price. There's no doubt about it. We have had 2 hours, I think, of very good conversation about it. We will continue to do so if you'd like at 239-337-ESPN. I have no preformed ideas of how this show is going to be. It's half over. We've talked nothing but. I have some other things we want to get to as well, unless you guys have some additional thoughts as well.
Hey, real quick with the police officer getting he got charged with third degree murder.
Yeah.
The reason that they go for third degree, not second degree or first degree, once you get into second and first degree, you have to start judging intent.
Right.
So third degree, they don't have to look at intent. It's an easier conviction. Yeah. Then you throw on the manslaughter charge on top of that. I believe that third degree comes with a maximum of 25 years in prison.
Yeah.
If you get charged with that plus the manslaughter, that's 35 years, and that's what they know that they can get. So I've heard that kind of circulated today, and we haven't said it on our show, so I wanted to make sure it got out there.
I heard he's had to be moved twice.
That's not surprising, Craig.
No.
That's surprising.
That's going to be, yeah. I heard he was on suicide watch, and I heard his wife filed for divorce like Friday. Like ASAP. Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
she wouldn't fool around.
I heard that too. Yes. Yep. Green Falcon, get your facts straight.
What happened?
Poor Steve Grogan. That Super Bowl was one of the worst quarterback meetings I've ever seen. Okay, remember, Eason started. Grogan came in. It didn't provide any spark. So, yeah, Eason and Grogan, they had a lead 3-0. Should have been 7. Stanley Morgan dropped a touchdown pass.
Let it go, Pete.
Very unlikely.
Let it go.
Could have changed the game.
Let it go.
Len Dawson, not that one. The tight end for the Patriots. Hurt his knee on like the 10th play of the game. It would have been a first down. It would have made a difference. Change the game.
There you go. You got it out of your system. You good?
Yeah. Cheez-It says, thank you guys thank you for trying to be the voice of reason, because that's what we need right now, new voices of reason.
Yes.
Otis says, Chris doing his best Rick Church impersonation.
Somebody noticed.
A little more metal today in the bumper music.
6-for-3 wants to know what the hell happened to the murder hornets. Maybe they should unleash those on the looters. How about that?
Wow. They're like page 6 news now, man. I mean,
although I did see another story over the weekend that said it's kind of, because it hasn't really been in the news as much, but said that there's some sort of invasion coming by these hornets and it's getting worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Man.
Eventually animals will take over and win anyway, as most of them are. By the way, we had a pretty big, significant black bear roaming around here.
We've had our own. I hope it's not the same. I doubt it's the same. We don't that close.
Yeah.
But yeah. We got
not bothering anybody. Not bothering anybody. Or
we
anything.
We got just, warnings not to go out on walks now because this is a huge one. Oh, it's big.
We get a big one too. But black bears are, you know, they're afraid of humans. They don't, you know,
unless
this wasn't a rabbit or anything.
Until they're not.
Until they're not.
I cannot run a black bear.
No, you cannot.
Can you?
Yeah, only for a short distance, because I know how to duck in between the buildings and where to go. I think I could take a sharper 90-degree turn and maybe have him run
by. Yeah, that's a lie. Black bears can run at 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, but
you cannot.
I'm taking the bear at plus 230.
I don't need I would not
plus
it would not get
230,
30
Craig. Pete Shepherd against a bear in a race is minus 1,000 on the bear all
agreed.
Day.
I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if one sort of popped up, I think I could duck and weave and bob my way out of the situation.
You can't duck, bob, and weave in general without pulling a muscle.
I can't get out of the chair at work.
Bobbing and weaving.
I don't know what I'd do if a bear looked at me and like really started to charge. What am I? I'm not going to stand there. Although they say, right? Should I make a noise and pretend I'm a bear? Should I make a noise and pretend like I'm a bear?
Which one are you supposed to play dead? Black bear or grizzly bear?
Grizzly bear.
I thought grizzly
play dead?
Bear.
Grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Now, are you really going to be able to pull that off and remain calm, quiet, and still when he's in there
sniffing
your face?
Look what happened in The Revenant to Leonardo DiCaprio. Not only the bear mauled him, and then it came back after he was practically dead, the bear came back and mauled him again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I got to read this from Porn Stage, LSU locker room guy. He says, I miss the old days with the quarter and the urinal and Pete having to fish, leaving fish in the office fridge and going on vacation and smelling up the place.
Office fridge.
I remember we had Food Gate where food was disappearing. I mean, we used to have good times.
Yeah.
Outrun a black bear. What a ridiculous statement.
I'm not saying in a flat way. I'm saying, obviously, if a black bear and I were that close, it would be pretty close. I would turn and run. I would turn and run as fast as I can.
You have never been more wrong on this program.
I'm not talking about outrunning it. I'm saying, obviously, if I saw him, if he's like down the street and I see him charging at me, I wouldn't have enough time to duck back into my house or wherever, someplace that's safe, at least in Illinois, at least temporarily.
Usain Bolt hit 27. I mean, he can't even outrun a black bear.
Yeah. Like, you are making more sense in your Tyrod Taylor argument than you are about you outrunning a bear.
You make it sound like we're having an Olympic trial run. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if any of us were all of a sudden startled by a black bear, I would say you'd probably be fairly close. It's not something you see down the road and go, oh, okay, that's probably a bear, but I'm going to duck into the situation plenty of time. If I bump into a black bear walking, it's probably going to be pretty close, means I am turning and running and getting the hell out of there as quickly as I can. And I'm saying is I might be able to, fall over a bunch of bush, something. I think I'll be able to protect myself, at least in the interim. Run like hell, and hopefully it doesn't follow me. I can take a hard right somewhere, and it doesn't follow me.
Let's go to the phones.
That's excellent sense of smell.
While Pete continues his fantasy. 239-337-ESPN. David in Bonita, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. How are you?
Hey Dave. Barely stand this conversation.
Dang it. I saw what you did there.
Let's talk a little baseball. What do you think of the counter proposal? What do you think is going to happen next? And what are our chances of having any kind of semblance of a baseball season? I'll hang up and listen. Can't wait to hear what you
Perfect segue. Perfect timing. Thank you, David. First of all, the Players Association has now counter-proposed an idea, which they would play up to 114 games. That would take the regular season to October 31st, by the way, for those of you doing the math.
Yep.
They would ask for deferred salaries if the season is canceled, particularly with players making $10 million
more a year. And the postseason.
Yes.
And the option for all players to opt out of a potential 2020 season due to coronavirus concerns.
Correct. They would expand the playoffs from 10 teams to 14, and the players would be agreeable to wear more microphones since there's no fans in the stands. Look, the owners are expected to vote this down.
They are going to vote it down.
So where does that leave us? We're running out of time.
Back at DEFCON 1 to Dingleberry mode, probably by tomorrow or Thursday.
Oh, this was good. The players are also offering to come back in the off season and have a home run derby to help the owners make some money. Are you going to watch a home run derby in January?
No. And again, MLB owners initially proposed an 82-game schedule with significant salary reductions for all players. But the highest earners were hit the hardest because of the marginal structure. Players had already agreed to prorated salary for 2020 season, so an 82-game schedule would already force players to miss out on half of their 2020 salary. But the owner's proposal called for much deeper cuts. And, again, we went over the scale before. So, basically, if you're making $20 million, you're paid up to 20%. If you're making $563,000 to $1 million, you're getting 72.5%.
All right.
But
let's get some audio here from both Jeff Passan and Buster Olney. Let's play the Jeff Passan. This is from ESPN. He says MLB will reject the Player Association counter proposal that we just outlined. Yep. He said, and it happened, and he said this week will be critical.
MLB is going to reject this proposal. Right. It's just an inevitability, like it was inevitable that the players rejected MLB's proposal on Tuesday that included the pretty drastic pay cuts for players up and down. But the issue is going to be on the owner side. Now, there is a group of owners. It's a small group at this point, but there's a group that has been fairly vocal about there not being a 2020 season and what the benefits would be to that. And the question is this proposal going to give them more ammunition, perhaps, going forward and being able to bring some others onto their side? Or are they going to see this from the players as an olive branch saying, hey, let's find somewhere to meet in the middle? We've got a pandemic going on right now. We've got a crisis going on across the country where cities are burning. And are we really going to be the ones who can't come to a deal right now? It's just more for baseball to consider than it has already. And if it wants to be the first professional sport in America, first major professional sport to come back, then this week is going to be absolutely seminal.
And again, I like the comment, again, the backdrop of how the world has even changed in the last 72 hours. Baseball is just going to look like a bunch of idiots, money-hungry idiots, if they don't come through with something here.
Absolutely. Real quick, right before we went to break, this is unfortunate news in college football. A Clemson wide receiver, Dabo Swinney, announced this right when we were going to break. Clemson wide receiver Justin Ross is not going to play this year. He's supposed to be a first-round pick. He needs surgery for a congenital fusion in his neck and spine that apparently he was born with. And
does that mean he's at risk if he plays again ever? Or
it's unclear what the long-term prognosis is, Craig, but he's done playing college football.
That's too bad.
Yeah, Justin Ross had a hell of a game in the national championship two years ago against Alabama.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He's only, he's only a sophomore, right? Or is he going to be a
junior? No, he was a. I believe he was a junior last year. I could be wrong about that, though.
Justin Ross, what
I'm
is
not
he? He's, hang on. I just punched up the depth chart. It says sophomore, but.
All
right. But that sucks because he's going to be a projected first round pick.
A couple other texts. Mad Dog 2020 saying Pete would be dead regarding a chase with a bear. Chris, most people play that hole as a par 3.
290. Get out of here, Mad Dog 2020. It was a 4 on the card. Not even a 4/3. It was a hard 4. That's an eagle as true as the North Star.
So he's suggesting you got a birdie.
First of all, I'll take 2 from 290 out anytime. I don't care if I'm right in one circle or two circles down on the card.
I'm glad you brought this up. I want to discuss this further. Did Chris just cheat?
No, Chris did not cheat. Look at the scorecard on Eagle Ridge.
I'll
print it for you.
Right. It's like our third hole here. You guys have played it. It's a short par 4. It's under 300 yards.
All right.
Or just about 300 from the blues. Most people hit like 5 irons or maybe a rescue club just to get to the 150. Chris has gone for the green here. I think you and Ryan might have even
hit.
I laid up.
I birdied.
I laid up. Mad Dog 2020 closed it out by saying Craig needs to grow a pair. So Pete would be dead. Chris, most people play that as a par 3, and Craig needs to grow a pair. What did I do?
It's a par 4.
What did I do? How come I need to grow a pair?
It's a par 4.
What is a par 4?
It's a par 4. I'm looking at it right now.
Yes, there are a lot of par 4. I hate to break this news to non-golfers out there, but there are a lot of par 4s that are actually, some are under 300 yards, and they're tricky. A lot of them are tricky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tempt you to tease you to go for it. At my course here at Bonita National, they tease you to go for it. You miss left at all, you're done.
You're in the water,
right? You're in the water. You miss right at all. On the hole, you're pretty much done into Narnia. So you better, if you're going to go for it, you better hit the green or just in the back, or there's a bunker on the left and the right. You got a chance there, but that's tempting. You long hitters, it's great. And I insist that people like Chris and my other friends who I know can reach to go for it every time. And I usually win that hole because more times than not, they overswing and hit it in the water.
It seems like fishy scorekeeping to me. It's very VJ Singh-ish here. I don't know. I'm calling question until I see it for my
own. You don't even know it.
Boomer says, as soon as Pete turns and runs, he pulled his back.
That's so true, Boomer.
That's absolutely true.
Nailed it.
No, I stretch.
You don't have time to stretch when you all of a sudden see that that a bear is after you. You have to go.
Stretch before my walks. Yeah, we had a gator cross the sidewalk, across the street the other day. Another one, big one.
We had ours
right in the middle of the road.
We had ours
just
removed.
You had yours removed?
We've had two.
No, we don't.
We have. I'm talking about my neighborhood. We don't allow for gators in my
They had one removed here a couple months ago because some older lady was all.
We had two gators, one a 6-footer and one a 4-footer, and they were which are babies. Yeah, right. Compared to your Jurassic Park, I agree with you. And I didn't think that we needed to get rid of the 6-footer, but we did.
Sauce. We also had, besides the big bear, we had in almost the same area, somebody took a picture of it, a beautiful, this guy told me, he goes, we had some sort of mountain lion. I go, you mean panther? He goes, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so that was roaming around here too.
But. Florida Panthers, huh? They'll be seen again this year.
Yeah.
Hockey.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that? I saw a type of snake I've never seen before.
Have legs?
No.
I was going to say, it's not a snake.
It was about 7 feet long. It was white up until the neck area, and then it was brown. And I looked it up. It's a thing. It's Eastern something or other. Painful bite, but not venomous. And we just, you know.
Huh.
I didn't get in its way.
Well, I Googled white snake, and apparently that was a
rock group
from back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, Tawny Katayan on the chick in the video, I've interviewed her before. She was a little bit messed up.
What color was the head?
She's crazy.
Brown.
She was Tanya was also in the movie. She was Tom Hanks' girlfriend in Bachelor Party.
Yeah. What kind of snake, Chris?
I don't know.
It's that Eastern something or other. I can't remember.
I don't like looking at snakes.
No.
They scare me.
You're like Indiana Jones. Not afraid of anything except
in multiple
snakes.
Ways. Yeah.
In multiple ways?
Yeah, that's fair.
Wow. Yes. The Big A Texan. Coach Whip. It's an Eastern Coach Whip. I've never seen one of those before.
Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, not Shia LaBeouf.
Totally agree with you on that.
That was the last one. It was just not good. And they're still making another one. They're in the process. It's I don't know how much more Harrison Ford can do at his age. And
well, plus, if they started filming it and then they shut down for coronavirus, he's going to age like 10 years by the time they started again. I mean, the continuity people in the movie business are going to have hell to pay.
Well, remember, before The Force Awakens, Episode 7 in Star Wars, remember what happened? He got the Millennium Falcon door fell on him. Remember, he broke his leg. They had to stop filming for it was like a month, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
He got hurt. The door fell. Something fell on his leg and broke his leg or something back at
when Mission Impossible 7 has had to stop its filming and actually has a whole new villain in their movie because they were filming in Italy back in February.
Right.
They had to stop.
Well, the previous one, Tom Cruise jumped over off one building another and literally broke his ankle.
Broke his leg.
That's going to put a crimp in production plans.
Well, he does all of his own stunts.
Yeah.
Even hanging off of the airplane.
Even hanging off the airplane.
It's
that's
crazy.
That's real.
I know. I remember that what came out. That's insane.
Why would you do that?
The most clinch-worthy moment, though, from the Mission Impossible series is when he, and I'm forgetting the name of the building, in Dubai, world's tallest building, when he's got the magnetic gloves.
Yes.
And he's climbing up the side and they start to go out.
Yeah.
Clinch-worthy moment from the Mission Impossible series.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah. Well, how about the first one when he's hanging through the ceiling and what's-his-name sneezes or has to kill the rat that's about to bite him, his partner that turned on him, but at the time, he had to kill the rat and he just dropped him suddenly, he almost fell, and then he had to catch the sweat off his glasses with his hand. Boop. Hmm. Remember? That was kind of...
remember.
Yes, remember, he's barely hanging. Remember, if he touched the floor... Or if the temperature went up more than 2 degrees or something,
it was like a half a degree. Trigger. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
The sweat, just a droplet of sweat would have set the alarm off.
And porn stage just texted back in. He says Pete is too indecisive to escape a bear. Just look how long it takes him to answer Wikipedia.
There is some there.
All right, couple more bites I want to get to here regarding baseball and these proposals going back and forth. Here's Buster Olney from ESPN. He says, this is embarrassing for baseball.
It's ugly. And I got to say this off the top. It's embarrassing to watch. It's embarrassing in the current context to see the two sides fighting over money, having an argument over money. And it's been so interesting in the last 2 weeks. There's so many people in the game have said, well, they'll definitely work it out, right? Because the alternative is unthinkable. The absolute mayhem that would ensue if there's no baseball in 2020. You know, maybe a player's strike next spring. The union at that point perhaps being more vulnerable to the owners. The owners you know, going once and for all for a financial structure that they feel like is the best business model, and maybe that does include a salary cap if they can't get a deal done. If you look at it rather than playing a game of checkers, if you look at it like chess, five or six down the moves, it's unthinkable that they wouldn't get a deal done. But each person that says that to me, I say, okay, I get it, but what is the path from where they stand right now in their current bunkers out into a middle ground? And the responses uniformly are, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, also Buster said, yeah, too, and this is the part of the story, and I put a link to it today on 993ESPN.com. And we haven't really brought this up, but there are some MLB owners, according to Buster, and I understand, perfectly willing, quote-unquote, to go with a nuclear option and cancel the 2020 season should players not agree to additional pay cuts. Yeah, and I'll bet you it's more closer to the majority, too.
And let me follow that up. I got another bite from Buster here on ESPN. Not only is this season in jeopardy, he says it's not out of the question that there's no baseball for several years. Take a listen. Mm-hmm.
My conversation with a lot of moderates in the game goes along the lines of this. They're going to get a deal, right? They're going to get a deal done, right? Because to not get a deal done, the consequences are almost unthinkable. It probably would spin baseball into a long cycle of labor problems. Because remember, if there is no baseball in 2020 and the coronavirus is still manifesting in the spring of 2021, they'd have to come up with an agreement then. The collective bargaining agreement is set to expire in December 2021. I have people on the player side saying to me, the players could use the option of striking in order to get what they want. And on the owner's side, there might be some owners feeling like, hey, you know what? We've lost so much money already. We're just going to sit back, wait out the players. And all the while, the enmity, the anger of sports fans across the United States, Canada, around the world will continue to grow, that baseball can't get its act together.
All right, digest that for a minute, huh?
And the bigger part of the story is, forget the, what do you want to blame the owners, the players, whatever. It really hurts in all these areas where they have baseball teams, business. Mm-hmm. People, a lot of them have seasonal businesses. They're going to go out of business.
Yep.
The hotels, restaurants, you know, waiters, waitresses, servers of all kinds and everything else. Think about, it's not just about the players and the owners. It is affecting a ton of businesses and people's livelihoods around the entire country. It really stinks.
What happens if you miss, if you got like an 8-year deal and you miss two seasons? They're gone. Do you now have a 6-year deal, or do you get...
If there's no season played this year, you get the credited season. Yeah. So Mookie Betts, who's on the final year of his current deal, will never play a game for the Dodgers, even though he played his entire last year with the Dodgers. He'll go straight to free agency if there's no baseball season this year.
Wow.
Well, hey, maybe Vince McMahon will form...
Kentucky Tim.
Kentucky Tim. Maybe Vince McMahon will form the XLB.
That's funny. I like that.
Can actually throw at players. There's no unwritten rules. Everything's written.
No.
Yeah, written rules.
Throw at anybody, anytime, whenever.
No stealing.
A lot
signs.
Of bat flips.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Come on, don't forget Wikipedia right around the corner. Today is Morgan Freeman's birthday. We're going to have Morgan Freeman trivia before the hour's
sweet.
Up. Also, we're giving away a brand new 3-burner Weber grill for Father's Day. All you have to do is submit your favorite photo of you and your dad to 993ESPN.com. We'll post it. Get all of your friends to share it and vote for it. As many votes, whoever gets the most votes, will get this brand new grill. It's already assembled, too. That's, in fact, it's right outside the door here in Chris's office. So do whatever you have to do to win. Win at all costs. Tell all your friends and family members to vote for your photo at 993ESPN.com and you win a 3-burner Weber grill for Father's Day. Sheeman and Shepard, 993 ESPN and the 993 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 993 ESPN and the 993 ESPN app.
Woo! Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
That white snake?
No.
I know. Just saying.
What is it?
It's not rat. It's
nope. You give rat this. You give rats this.
Poison.
Hey.
Poison.
Give white snakes this.
Rat. Poison. White snake. Got them all. I know girls. I know. You know that's. But
that's Motley Crue.
Yeah, Motley Crue. Motley Crue. Rat. Poison.
Rats in the new Geico commercial.
Yeah,
the homeowner's talking about their rat problem.
Like we got a rat problem. Yeah.
I've seen Rat and Motley Crue in concert. I don't know if I've seen Whitesnake. I don't think I have. Yeah, just Motley Crue, one of the best shows I've ever seen, period.
But I got to tell you, boys, the Bundesliga has been good to me. German soccer, I'm killing it.
I gave the lock of the century last week, so that was my one game. I said I would never put skills on another game. I haven't.
I won like 10 units this weekend. No big deal. Wow.
10 units?
Ugh.
Mike Krzyzewski has come out with a statement because we're just talking about coaches.
About time, right?
Well, I think they're all going to follow suit now because it's like, you know, it's a snow. It's a domino effect. He says, I've been trying to find eloquent words to explain my thoughts regarding the recent acts of injustice in our country, but I cannot be eloquent about this. I am too emotional. I am angry. I am frustrated. I am disgusted. And frankly, I am scared. No matter how much I love my current and former players and their families, I cannot feel the depth of what they are feeling right now. I never have experienced what it's like to be a black man in America. So I find myself asking questions. What is happening to us? When will we realize we are on the same team and that everyone on the team is important? When will we have each other's back? When will we insist on justice and equality for everyone? What can I do? Lastly, he says, I want to help find the answers to these questions, but before we can get answers, we have to understand at a new level. And to understand, we must listen and not judge. We need to stand up for what is right, and we must no longer tolerate racism and social injustice in our country.
I mean, I'm listening. I've told you from the minute I got on the air.
And I will say this.
I don't have answers, but I don't shy away from the conversation.
Would it help for Mike Krzyzewski to go out in these peaceful protests? Would he help to be in one of them? Or would he feel like a lot of people do, if I go out in these protests, am I risking my life? Of what's happening after. Not during the protests, per se, but the idiots that are around afterwards looking
think your latter statement is true. Mm. I don't think many will go out there because they'll be fearful. And I'm not criticizing them for that. I think that's part of it.
I saw adults, you know, obviously I saw dads bringing their young kids. I know saw one, again, I don't know if it was Louisville or Nashville or New York or Detroit or Boston, whatever it was, New York, Atlanta. But some dad brought their, I don't know, she must have been 4 or 5 years old tops. She got hit right in the face with not a pellet, with tear gas.
Why would
right
you?
In the face.
Why? Give me one.
It was late at night.
Why
too.
Would you bring a kid to that?
Well, I saw one interview on, believe it was the Today Show this morning, but I'm not positive. And it was from New York City of a black dad bringing his young son, and he was saying, "Look, there are bad apples, but this is the correct way." To get the change that we're looking for, looking at the peaceful protesters, not the, and I don't know what time the interview was conducted. So I would imagine as a dad of two young sons that, you know, if you want to take them out and kind of show them what's happening, you would remove them from that situation early while the sun's still up, when it seems like a lot of
before
the
curfew, quote unquote.
Right. And that was I had that conversation with my kid this morning. Yeah. He's, you know, we've got the news on at my house. And
how do you explain that to a 4-year old?
I didn't know.
How much is he aware of it?
I didn't. Maybe it's not great parenting on my part, but I'm being honest right now. I didn't know how to explain the racial component. So I didn't. I said that there was a bad police officer who did something to upset a lot of people. Now, he's 4, so we don't get into the death and that sort of thing yet. Right. You know, I think you talk to a 4-year-old and a 7, 8-year-old a lot different.
But now is he fearful of police? Which is what we don't want to
have. He said that,
happen,
and
right?
I said, buddy, that, you know, most police officers are really good guys. They're guys and girls. You know, they're great. And if we need help, we'll call the police. But as you know, as we've kind of talked about today and other shows across the country have talked about today, that conversation as a white guy is really different than the conversation that the black guy's having with his son. And That's not fair to the because I don't know the words to pull from that. I don't know what words to come up with there.
I'm thinking when I was 4 years old, Craig, in 1971, I mean, I had no recollection that the Vietnam War was going on, nor did my parents sit down with me to discuss it. I don't know. I don't remember much of when I was 4 years old.
I was oblivious.
The only thing I remember is the Bruins were really good. That's all. Seriously. Yeah. That's honestly, that's really all I remember.
At the age of four, I was oblivious to the Vietnam War. One of my earliest memories of current events, though, I do remember sitting in front of the TV watching Richard Nixon resign.
I do agree with you there. Yes, absolutely.
But I had no idea the concept of the Vietnam War till later. And it
the
was
Nixon
going
thing,
on.
You're right. The Nixon Watergate issue was, I remember, you know, overhearing my parents talking about it during, you know, with family members and no heated discussions, right? Just like, can you believe
this? Oh, you could talk politics back then without having heated discussion. You could.
Yeah.
You
and
could.
I was, that happened. I think I was six or six and a half when he resigned. And I knew something was wrong. And, but I didn't understand it. I didn't go around asking questions. Just kind of, then you get a little bit older and you kind of, by the time I was 8 or 9, I sort of understood it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you didn't really realize what happened. And with him, I just always scratch my head and go, how could you be so paranoid over stuff you really didn't need to be paranoid about? This is crazy. Anyway,
if Watergate went on today, would it even be a blip in the news?
Oh,
I've heard so many people say that there was small potatoes compared to things that are being thrown back and forth on both sides in the last 4, 5, 10 years in politics. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're both. I mean, you've had in the last several presidential elections, you've had both sides accuse each other of taping conversations and having spies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That happens all the time now.
Standard issue now.
Yeah.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
Anyway.
All right. Anything else we want to get to before we play a little Wikipedia?
We're doing my quiz next hour.
Oh, you know what? I think
we don't have to do it now.
We can do it here. No, we got time.
I think this would be perfect right now, and then that'll lead into Wikipedia. Do you have it ready? Did you print it off?
I don't have it printed off. It takes me count to five.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got it.
All right. 5, 4.
Yes, this
three,
is
two,
this great college quiz. Yeah.
All right, college football quiz. Here we go.
This is a quiz.
All right. Well, a little bit of a theme here. So I remember the past couple of Mondays, I've asked you about, again, Chris, if you've seen this, you're disqualified.
I have not.
Okay. So I've asked you about the top passers and top rushers in each of the Power 5 conference history, right? You guys like these quizzes.
Yes.
So let's keep moving along here. Receivers. See how much you know about the top receivers in each of the Power 5 conference's history. And you want to go alphabetical order, or do you want to go back to front, or how do you want to start with the SEC and go down to the ACC, or do you want to just go ACC down to the SEC?
Yeah, we can go SEC to ACC. That's fine.
All right.
We'll go with that.
All right. So let's start with the SEC. Again, these are the Power 5 conferences' all-time top receivers in yardage. Okay? Yardage. And I'm going to say, you will get maybe one of these correct.
Ooh.
One?
Okay. Yeah.
Again, this is the history, in the history of the Power 5. And I'll give you a hint. I'll give you one little major hint.
Okay.
None of these are real trick questions. And I will tell you it's not like something happened in 1945 or anything like that, okay?
All right.
So everything happened after 1970. I'll give you that much. I'm not going to give you any more hints.
Well, I would imagine so. All right, so we're starting with the SEC?
Start with the SEC. Can you name the leading receiver in the conference's history?
I mean, I don't have a really good guess right here.
SEC receiver. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's think recent, obviously.
I think you got to go
really recent.
Right, so if you go recent, I mean, you're talking, you can't go a guy from LSU, even though they've had really good receivers to come out of there. You can't even go with like Julio Jones or Amari Cooper because they didn't run that style offense at Alabama.
Yeah.
I will give you this other hint because these are going to be tough. I'll give you a couple of hints. This hint. this player was at this institution from 2010 to 2013.
Okay, that helps a lot.
All right.
Institution of higher learning, I should say.
Yeah.
Actually, a very, maybe in the SEC, one of the highest.
Oh, I know it. I know it. He went to Vanderbilt. Who did he get drafted by? The Eagles? I think he got drafted by the Eagles. What the heck was that guy's name? Oh. Hold on. You're going to... Oh. Am I thinking of the right guy?
Don't go away from the microphone.
No, I'm not. Am I thinking about the right guy?
Pete? Yeah. Yes, you
hold
are.
Hold on. What's his name?
Yeah, you are.
It's not Cunningham. It's...
No.
I'm blanking on the name.
Last second guess, Craig?
I got nothing.
Tough.
I'm wondering if it's one of the current Alabama guys.
No, it's the Vandy guy I'm thinking of.
It's a Vandy guy.
I got nothing.
Jordan Matthews.
Jordan Matthews.
I think he played for the Lions, too, for a little
played
bit.
Played for the Eagles.
Good grief. Played for the Eagles twice, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. Good.
He played for the Patriots. He was going to play for the Patriots, and he suffered an injury in training camp, and Belichick still gave him his money and said he just couldn't play that year. I think it was 2018.
Rats. Okay. Own right. One.
Tough one. Okay. Pac-12. Again, this is...
It's got to be recent in that
this
league.
This is the all-time leading receiver in this conference, in the Pac-12 conference.
In that league?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is an unofficial guess. It's just me putting one on the bunch of spitball. Like Mike Williams, USC.
That's who I was thinking, actually. That's the exact name I was thinking, okay. But I don't feel good about that.
Yeah. But going back to Jordan Matthews, you know who one of his quarterbacks was, I believe, back then?
No.
It was Jordan Rodgers.
Jordan Rodgers, yeah. Yeah.
I've got no clue on the Pac-12. I mean, I was going to go USC guy, but that doesn't feel right.
I'll give you a hint. He was there from 1996 through 1999.
Is that Keyshawn?
No.
No.
Is Keyshawn before that? No, I'm just talking, Pete. No official answers yet.
I get you. Played for the Harvard of the Pac-12, as it's referred to. Harvard of the West.
Played at Stanford from...
Yes.
Is it Ed McCaffrey?
Nope.
Oh, that would have been a lot earlier than 96.
Yeah, 96 to 99, yep.
Are we running out of music already?
We are. I've got no clue.
We're getting killed on this one.
It's tough. All right, here we go. I'll give you the answer.
Yeah, give it. Yeah, I'm not getting it.
Troy Walters.
Millionaires. Yep. No.
Yeah.
With 3,986 yards. By the way, Jordan Matthews at Vandy had 3,759 yards. All right, Big Ten. Big
Ten.
Receiver? This man had 3,788 total yards. Most ever in the Big Ten Conference.
Would it be Braylon Edwards?
No.
No?
No.
This is difficult.
I don't think of a lot of big-time receivers in the Big Ten recently. It's got to be recently because the Big Ten didn't throw the football until 5 years
ago. Recently.
The first forward pass was in 2006 in the Big Ten.
No, it was a little before that. Okay, this person was there between 2001 and 2004. One hint. The other hint I will give you, especially Craig.
Yes.
Joe Tiller.
Purdue.
Yep.
Purdue receiver is all time?
Yes. Think about back then, 2001 to 2004. Think about who was thrown to him back then.
Okay, was it a Drew Brees receiver?
Yes. Yes.
This is tough.
Was it like a... Did Taylor Stubblefield go there? No.
No.
I've got nothing.
All right.
Name a Purdue wide receiver? I couldn't...
I can't name a
Purdue. Can't name one.
John Stanford.
Okay.
John
Great.
Stanford.
I'll take your word
I believe
for
he played... I believe he... He might have played for the Lions too, Craig.
Really? Well, the Lions always drop the receivers.
I think he's from Indiana, too. Where was Monrovia?
Yeah.
Where's that?
That's in Indiana.
Oh, I know that. Where though? Near West Lafayette? Is that where?
I'm trying to remember. I've done a game at Monrovia. I'm trying to think. I think it's more, it's more like Central Indiana. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's more like Central
Indiana. Well, that's where John Standiford's from.
All right.
So now you're 0 for 3. This is tough. I said it'd be. Yeah. All right. Let's go Big 12. Big 12. Leading all-time receiver in the Big 12.
I have two people in mind.
Okay.
I don't think my friend. James Washington at Oklahoma State set a lot of records.
Oh, but, that's a good
but
one.
But I don't. And the only reason I'm thinking of this, another receiver that played for the Lions that you've never heard of. Was it Ryan Broyles out of Oklahoma?
Boom! You nailed it. You nailed it. Oklahoma, Ryan Broyles.
We got
nice
one.
Yep.
We got
4,586 yards. Actually, out of all the Power 5 conferences, I will tell you, he's the leader of all of them.
Wow.
By a lot.
Wow.
By at least over 700 yards in total. He had 4,586 yards.
All these guys played for the Lions for a Schmidt.
Yes,
if you're
they
a
did,
receiver, you got drafted by the Lions at one point.
Yes.
And now the ACC.
It was Ryan Broyles. He was there from 08 to 2011. And finally, the ACC with 3,830
right,
yards.
I mean, are we going
you're not,
like
I mean,
a Sammy Watkins or a
Torrey
Holt?
Excellent.
Or,
you're not going to go Calvin Johnson.
No.
Could you go Peter Warwick? Did they throw? Peter Warwick, right? For Florida State? That's what I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah.
Can you go there? Well, he's not even the leading receiver in Florida State history,
right,
I don't think.
Right. I don't like that one.
And it's when they were in the ACC.
Yeah. It's not like a Torrey Holt type, is it, Pete?
I really can't remember. Here's the hints I will give you. he was at this particular place of higher learning from 2011 to 2014.
Okay.
Fairly recent.
Is that when Sammy Watkins was at...
It's about when Clemson. Sammy Watkins was at Clemson.
That's going to have to be my guess.
I'll give you one more hint. It's not Sammy. I'll give you one more hint. He played for an institution here in the state of Florida.
Rashad Green?
Yep.
Whoa! Nicely done, Chris! Yeah!
Florida State, 2011-2014.
All right, I got that as two right answers.
How about that?
Did I lose you guys?
No. Are you there? Hello? Pete Chip?
Our whole power system just blinked.
Did you hear? Can you hear us now?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
We have Wikipedia coming up. You're important.
All right, Get your ooh and an on ready. It's time for us to quiz you.
Yes.
We've got it is
who's Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman's birthday. Right. We're gonna do Morgan Freeman trivia. Chris, what do we give away? More $40 golf or Philly subs or what do we give away today?
We'll do $20 to Philly Junction in Fort Myers.
That to caller number 9 right now. Wikipedia 239-337 ESPN 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepherd, Wikipedia next, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, here we go. Let's have some fun. We got Matt Naples, who I believe is also known as Sweepe on our texter line. Matt, how are you?
Sweepe, yeah, what's going on? I'm doing good, guys.
Very good. All right.
I'm going to do my best here.
All right. Well, we're going to do some Morgan Freeman trivia. It's his birthday today, and we'll see how it goes. First one of three correct answers is a winner. You get to go first, Matt. Okay. Here's question number one. Whom did Morgan Freeman co-star with in the 2000 movie The Bucket List?
2007.
Jack Nicholson.
Yes, that is correct. I believe I said 2007.
You said 2000.
I think I said 2007. I read it right off the
thing. I'll go back and check. Okay, we can check next hour.
Matt, did I say 2007 or 2000?
I don't remember, but I just remember Bucket List and Jack Nicholson.
All right, very good. You have a 1-0 lead. Pete Shepard.
Yes.
In 2003.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman played God in what movie co-starring Jim Carrey?
Happy Bruce Almighty.
That is correct. We have a
You love this, Craig. I remember visiting a friend, and he got stuck at work, and I was on Cape Cod. That's where I saw that movie.
Really? Down by the harbor!
I would have guessed the other Almighty. I've been wrong.
Oh, all right. Well, Matt, it's your turn. We're tied at one. What movie did Freeman play Ellis Boyd Red Redding?
That sounds like Driving Miss Daisy.
Ooh. No.
Oh,
Shawshank Redemption.
That's Shawshank Redemption. Pete Shepard for the lead. In what superhero trilogy did Freeman play Lucius Fox?
That would be in Batman.
That is correct. You have a 2-1 lead.
Dark Knight series.
Back Christian to Matt. Bale series. Matt for the tie. Morgan Freeman co-starred with Brad Pitt in what 1995 movie where they play detectives who hunt a serial killer who uses the seven deadly sins as his motives?
Seven feet of something or other.
Oh, what did you say? Your phone cut out. What did you say?
Seven
is correct. Seven. That is correct. We have a 2-2 tie.
You have to put the answer in the form of the question when you ask him. I mean,
it says description, Pete. That's all it is.
Chris, my apologies. Several texters said I said 2000, not 2007.
It's okay.
Stand corrected.
It's all right.
Yep.
82%.
All right, Pete Shepard for the win.
Yep.
As we are tied at 2, name one of the two movies where Morgan Freeman played the President of the United States.
I'll give you all three. And the third one I thought was the best. Angel Has Fallen, I think, was the best one. Olympus Has Fallen was okay. London Has Fallen was like London Bridge Has Fallen. I don't know. Well, I like Angel Has Fallen the best.
Olympus Has Fallen, I believe he's the vice president in that one. But you did get it correct, Big Shepard, nonetheless. You said Angel Has Fallen, and that was,
Well, you also said there's three movies, right?
Two. We said two, and you gave us all three. You got all cocky.
Well, I like the Angel. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think he was the vice president.
Deep Impact was what we were looking for also for the other characters.
So that's a win for Pete Shepard,
That's a win for Pete Shepard, 3-2. Good effort by Matt, though.
Good job, buddy.
Man, I tell you, I'm going in Pete's wheelhouse, man.
I didn't
get an Officer and a Gentleman or Gloria or God Almighty.
Oh, Officer and a Gentleman. I'm great at that, too.
Yeah. Well, Matt, nonetheless, we will not send you home empty-handed. Thank you for playing. I appreciate it.
Good job, buddy.
All right. I love listening to your show, and I'm glad you guys are entertaining us during this situation.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. As Matt in Naples, also known as Sweet Bay on the text line.
What else you got?
I got two more. Morgan Freeman played Eddie Scrap Iron Dupree in what 2004 award-winning film?
That was he won the Academy Award for that too. Was Million Dollar Baby?
That is correct. Nicely done. Yep. Final question: Morgan Freeman played Thaddeus Bradley in what magician movie franchise?
Oh, Now You See Me.
Yes, those are fantastic. Yep. There's two of them, I think. Right?
Franchise.
Yeah, there were. I didn't see the second one. Mark Ruffalo was pretty good in that.
The second one might even be better than the first, possibly.
Really? I got to see the second one.
It might be.
Yeah.
It might be the rare instance where the second one is better than the first one. Yeah.
The only thing it was on the other night, and I watched a few minutes of it. It is so inconceivable that somebody could pull off that final scene and fool everybody.
Yeah, it can't be done.
It can't be done. That's where you have to let your mind go.
Yeah, and you just accept it.
In the cinema.
So. You know, it's also ridiculous to think that a man in an iron suit could take an atomic bomb through a wormhole in space over New York City and get back to live to tell about it.
That's true.
Totally realistic.
That's true. I'm totally realistic.
Got to shake Morgan Freeman's hand during the Tyson fight at the Pyramid against Lennox Lewis.
Really?
There with a bunch of celebrities sitting about four rows in front of me and just happened to get up at the same time as him to whatever, go to the bathroom or something. He got up and
did you shake before or after you went to the bathroom?
During.
Before.
So you acknowledged him in the bathroom, but not me.
Wow, that's cold.
I didn't go to the bathroom. I was just in the aisle at the Pyramid in Memphis.
What'd he say?
Hello, Pete Shepard.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, Mr. Freeman. I said, big fan. I said, appreciate what you do. He said, thank you, blah, blah, blah.
Did he start narrating?
He asked me who I liked in fight, and I said, Lewis.
Oh, all right. That counts as a conversation.
He seems tall. I don't know if he is or not. Yeah.
He's not 6'10".
I don't want to get into that conversation. Chris, are you trying to get me to go down a path where I mistaken African-American actors and their size like we did last and this week of all weeks, Chris?
I realize that 5:01 is a little late to be throwing stuff out there.
It is 5:01. I don't know if I'm going to have a hot 5 o'clock hot take or not. I gotta tread cautiously with
maybe
these times
today.
That we're in.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but you never know. Sheeman and Shumpert, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.